Navigating the complexities of hair growth and loss can be both concerning and deeply personal. So, what steps should you take? Millions are affected by hair and scalp changes every day. In a society where our appearance can make or break even one day, where should you turn for informative, honest, science-based information? Kimberly Vaughn's goal for this podcast is to offer informative content with the help of subject matter experts, along with individuals just like you.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining Hair Loss, Restore Your Roots and Confidence today. You are in for another amazing show and another amazing episode. We have a special guest today, and I want to start out with a brief introduction, and then she can do the rest. Today, we're joined by Alvira Wright, and she is a registered pharmacist. She practices across the entire Southeast. She holds a certification and fellowship in anti-aging, regenerative medicine, and is also certified with the American Board of Anti-Aging Health Practitioners. But most importantly, for your benefit today, Alvira is an advanced trichologist. She's a team member of mine, and we practice and support all of those across the United States. And she actually is specializing in peptide therapy and the treatments, therefore, for hair restoration and also hair preservation. So without further ado, Alvira, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here, especially before holidays. We need a little bit perk.
I know. That's right. And how warm is it in your climate today?
Yeah, it's 58 in the morning. Now it's 64.
Woo! Oh,
almost summer.
That's right. I know. Well, it means so much that you're with me today. You know, we've known each other for a long time, and I just really look up to you when it comes to the treatments of anti-aging and anti-aging of the scalp and the hair, particularly around your knowledge in peptides and all the work that you've done there. So to get us started off for the listeners' sake, why don't you tell us just a little bit more about what is a peptide anyway?
Sure. Yeah. Probably a lot of people heard about peptides in some cosmetic type of product, but not much for the general application. So peptides, it's naturally occurring, meaning we produce in our body bioregulatory chemicals, and they act as a master control of almost any function in our body, including some hormone production, cells signaling, and cells-to-cells communication. But in the most simple language, peptides is just a strength of amino acids. So if you look on that little small huge necklace, it's going to be protein. It has a lot of amino acid. If we take just one bit, this is going to be amino acid. So if we have less than 50 these bits, that calls peptides. So up to this point, we have more than 7,000 of naturally occurring peptides identified in our body, in all mammals, actually, not just humans, but also dogs, birds, fish, and so on. And the discovery goes on and on.
So there are 7,000 of these peptides free radically moving around our body, or are they connected like your necklace analogy there?
When we consume the food, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's protein. It's breaking down by enzymes called protease. And we have amino acid going seep through our gut system. And we have separate amino acids, and it started to combine in different peptides. And because peptides are much smaller than protein itself, they penetrate different type of tissues. They can affect some nervous system. They can be working as anticoagulants. They can be antimicrobial. They could affect your brain function, brain cognition, because they can cross blood brain barriers. Some specific peptides, it's improve and modulate immune function and have healing metabolic activities. And of course, hair restoration and facial rejuvenation. So I would answer it could be attached to specific receptors and exert the functionality on that specific tissue, the tissue-specific effect.
Oh, that's great. Oh my gosh. So I have so many other questions I could ask, but I don't want to go down that road right now. So tissue-specific. So let's now talk about, so you mentioned rejuvenation. So when we're talking about hair growth, right, we're talking about the prevention of hair loss and then the rejuvenation of hair growth. Now, just a little side note for the listener. So the hair has a health cycle and a life cycle, right? And so we're talking specifically today, right, about those three cycles, the growing cycle, the dormant or the resting cycle, and then that shedding cycle. So within these peptides, talk to us about this restoration and how these peptides work themselves specifically around those growing hair follicles and around the cells that make up our hair follicles.
Okay. All three peptides that we can mention it today, which is going to be GHQ copper, zinc thymolin, and PTT-DBM, they all work in within anagen state. Anagen when the hair growing. So it's all affect the growing hair. If we talk about GHQ copper, that's the one that has been discovered first in plasma and then in saliva, in urine and tear production. And this is the first peptide that's going to the site of injury. It's the one arrived and started to help regeneration processes. So the main benefits of GHQ copper is going to be wound healing. So if you, for example, did some microneedling or dermarolling at home, GHQ copper will help generate some healing in that area. Plus, it's also stimulate the hair grow, and it has some also facial cosmetic effects. So if you do dermarolling on your face and apply GHQ copper, it helps also stimulate collagen and elastin production. And GHQ copper also has some antibacterial properties, not just the wound healing. If you remember, there is in sometimes in some pharmacies was selling the little small spoon that we put in the nose when you have some flu season going on, and copper will kill the bacteria that goes through the nose and prevent you or heal you during the or prevent. It's probably prevent during the flu seasons, because again, it exerts some antibacterial properties.
And so that is the GHK copper.
Correct? GHK copper, yes. That's the one that you apply topically. It could be in the foam or in solution and spray, in the cream for the face. So it could be different type of form, medical form.
And I'm going to stop you before you move on to the other two. So GHK copper can be used, as you said, topically. So HPI uses this peptide either for in-home treatments that we help our clients who are out of state perform do it yourself, right? Treatments with dermal rolling. Mm-hmm. And so this GHK copper can be used very well with the dermal roller. We also use it for professional services inside the clinic as well. Mm-hmm. And just as you said, you know, it's funny because our philosophy, I should say HPI's philosophy around microneedling is much more aggressive on the scalp than many of our friends in the dermatology world. And that is because of the components that we're using for these healing properties. Yeah. And so by adding in those peptides, it really heals the scalp. So therefore, we can treat every 7 to 10 days to really have the best optimal result.
True. And I also wanted to add that GHQ copper help reduce the formation of DHT, dehydrotestosterone, that choking the hair, cause hair miniaturization. It prevent DHT formation at hair follicles. And I would like to add a couple more points about GHQ copper. One of them that GHQ copper affect approximately 4,000 genes and reset DNA to more healthy state, more stable, healthy state. And the second one, that it has been notified that GHQ copper prevent the choking or miniaturization due to prevention of DHT, dehydrotestosterone production at the hair follicle site.
So let me ask a clarification question, because I thought I knew most of this, but now you're throwing something at me that I have a question about. So therefore, does the copper peptide then slow down or neutralize the alpha reductase 5 enzyme? Or does it work around the other, kind of in a different space, if you will, and it doesn't affect the breakdown of the alpha reductase 5?
In androgenic alopecia, we have DHT production all the time at hair follicles. So GHQ copper reduce or slow down the formation of DHT. That's the way how it works.
Okay, perfect. So GHK copper, now you said there are two other types, right, of peptides. So let's move to the second one. So we know that, because you're going to come back at the end and give our listener a couple of three steps, actually, of what they need to take away from this, because it's a lot of great information. But so tell us about the second peptide.
The second peptide is going to be zinc thymoline. It's metallopeptide. In general, zinc deficiency has been strictly correlated with hair loss in females and males. And zinc thymoline is a peptide that will help actually to restore the hair, help to regrow the hair if you use more than 6 months. The study has been conducted for more than 6 months. And also it helps with the melanogenesis, meaning if you started to have gray hair, some of your hair, not all, you're not going to be brunette again, but some color is coming back using zinc thymoline as well.
Mm-hmm. That's right. In the zinc thymoline, it's interesting because so at HPI, we perform a DNA genetic test. And so within the testing that we do, many times it will report back, Elvira, about what's going on with zinc. And it will give different ways to apply the zinc, whether it's topical or oral. And many times there are, you know, 2 to 3 different forms of zinc that can be absorbed into the system.
Right. And we have to remember our skin is also the biggest absorbable organ. So what we apply on the skin, it definitely goes into our systemic, in our blood, and it delivered to other organs and systems. So we have to be careful what we're applying.
Oh, exactly. Okay. And then now the big one is the third one.
The PTT-DBM. It's a long name. It stands for protein transduction domain infused disheveled binding motif. PTT-DBM.
Right. So Peter, Tom, dog.
Dog and another dog. And it's Bobby and mother.
Okay. I love it. Okay. I don't know. I always think of Dairy Queen every time I say PTDBM. I don't have any idea why, but oh well. DQ, I think is what I'm thinking. You know, Dairy Queen used to be known for as DQ. So, oh well. That was a long time ago. Now I'm showing my age. Yeah. Go ahead.
The PTDBM usually shows maximum effect using also topical valproic acid. Mm-hmm. That the study has been done with valproic acid. It helps to activate the protein called WNT beta catenin pathway. What it does is inhibit another protein called CXX5, and that CXX5 causes miniaturization of the hair. And PTT-DBM just goes and removes from the site, CXXC5, remove from the site, activate the beta catenin pathway that has been heavily involved in hair production, in hair stimulation. And this pathway has been proven to help rescue DHT-induced hair follicle miniaturization. Combination works better with valproic acid and after microneedling. Because it also stimulates, you added a wound healing as an additional mechanism with the PTDBM valproic acid, which cause valproic acid also activate the beta-catenin pathway as well. So like a dual action on the beta-catenin pathway.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, so the three peptides that you discussed, we use all three of those in our natural treatments, right? Our natural dermarolling and also our natural microneedling treatments. And so, yes, many times we will apply the PTD DBM post our rolling to help with that wound healing. Sometimes we actually, if we have a client who has very aggressive hair loss, we will mix the PTD DBM along with the copper and the valproic acid as a real aggressive serum to apply after treating. So I think you're right. Boy, you know, you can kind of customize the formulation, right?
Right.
And that's super. And so with the application of peptides, you mentioned a moment ago about topicals and orals. You know, there's a lot of information in the news these days on peptides, right? And some are being taken off the market. Some are being no longer allowed to be, you know, different forms of applications. Tell our listener just a snippet about that. I just think it's really interesting because it seems to me that there's so many benefits that these peptides create for the hair and for the body. And so, I don't know, sometimes I wonder, you know, does the FDA get in the way or has there been, you know, overuse, which is typically the issue, right? Products are used for the wrong reason and they're used off-label. They're synthetic or there's a reason that they're mixed with something else. And then the poor consumer then, you know, has the side effect. So what's really going on with peptides and can we feel comfortable that they are safe if we're applying them topically on the scalp?
Peptides are very safe because we actually produce them and in our body. And like, for example, with GHQ copper, we have 200 nanograms per 1 cc at age 20, but we diminish it. And by age 60, we only have 80. In average, of course, right? So we have this steady decline of peptides production in the body. Could be secondary of production itself or our diet changes or our enzyme is not clipping our proteins in amino acids more efficiently. So in my opinion, since it's a really safe type of ingredient, even for injections, I use a lot of peptides while it was available, even injectable one without any side effect. I believe topical application is absolutely safe. And of course, there is so many allergies goes around in the world. Maybe somebody has a small irritation. That's a possibility too. Although it might be happened due to not peptides itself, but how it has been prepared. Because peptides involve a lot of preparation in a way like you have to put amino acids one to another one, kind of clip together and prevent this from enrolling in the circle. That's the most stable form in geometry. You have to put something at the end each time when you added a new amino acids to create specific peptide. And the ending of this intermediate type of chemicals could be not cleaned up perfectly fine and maybe somebody can have a reaction, but I didn't hear anyone so far. It's just a theoretical maybe concern. So what FDA did, in my personal opinion, because it helps a lot, like VPC 157 body protected compound is my favorite. I even do to my dog when he has some issues, to myself, to babies. It's super safe because it helps so much, but it's a natural one. You cannot patent it rosebud. So you cannot patent valerian root. It's just no money there. And they decided, in my opinion, just to cut majority of peptides out of production and only allow couple that actually has been patented by the manufacturer and now allowed to be distributed as a brand name. That's all about money.
Yeah, it does. And at the end of the day, I think the U.S. consumer sometimes really, really suffers because it is always a byproduct of the main purpose of cash flow, right? Or large big pharma. And I'm certainly not down on big pharma. I mean, goodness gracious, they save so many people's lives. But at the same time, I think when we talk about natural treatments in the United States, westernized medicine versus natural medicine just doesn't receive the credibility that you or I both feel that it should. So, oh, well, that's another episode, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so let's do this. The consumer has learned so much from you, and our listener really would love to have a couple of tips to take away today. Can you share three tips with the consumer that if they want to try to start in, you know, taking or utilizing peptides for their topical treatment on their hair, what should they look for? And how can they separate, you know, the fallacy from the fact? And, you know, every shampoo and every lotion or potion that says, oh, it's peptide enriched, you know, does that really mean that there are any peptides really there? So give them three tips and then we'll wrap it up.
Well, I think the first one, read the labels. Read the labels and be sure that you're getting what it says for. When you do read the label, also the biggest amount, what is in this bottle, is going to be number one. Mm-hmm. And the last, like minute amount, whatever it's in the bottle, is going to be in the last in the label as ingredients. So if it says jojoba or peptides, it's in the very, very bottom. Maybe it's some trace elements. Maybe you have that. So beware about reading the labels. Secondary one, if you have sensitivity, different type of sensitivity to different type of allergies and everything, try one. I believe DHQ Copper will be number one for you to try. This is very safe. This is absolutely amazing one. And don't do after microneedling, for example, if it's not has been recommended by your practitioner. Just try on a regular basis. Give 3 months, minimum 3 months. You know the cycle of the hair going to be 3 months before you say, no, it's not working. Usually after 3 months, people see noticeable result. And number third, I will not say it's about peptides. I will say about food because we are what we eat. And one single, if you don't remember anything, just one this simple tip. Chew every single bite 40 times. You start your predigestion in the mouth. You absorb some amino acid under your tongue, like where they put nitroglycerin and go straight in your system. You started to have this absorption right in your body, right in the mouth, and you will have higher availability, all this amino acid that will build your natural peptides production inside of your body. So you will don't need much exogenous peptides. And this is single one. You have satiety center kick you much earlier. So you will eat less. You'll help your digestive juices and enzyme work much easier because the amount of powder that or mass coming inside of your stomach has much higher the surface for absorption. So this is single element will reduce any type of obesity in this country and a lot of visits to emergency room. Just 40 times each bite. Be mindful about that.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. And you know, for those listeners that are in the car or taking a walk, I know you're thinking just what I'm doing as Elvira said that, right? Is I'm going, and I'm going to start counting now every time that I eat my bite of my food. Oh my gosh. And you're so right. We would eat half of the amount of what we eat now. And I'm just thinking the one very close person in my life is my son, and God love him. If he chews five times, that is more than ever. So I'm going to have to make sure he watches your video and watches your show so he knows that he's supposed to chew and how much more nutrition he'll be gaining. So, Well, Elvira, thank you so much. This has been amazing. Learning about peptides. I mean, we love it. Our scope of knowledge is so limited in comparison to yours. And so our consumers now and our listeners are going to have three tips. And listeners, as always, you know, jump on our show notes. Those will be there. They'll be listed out for you. 1, 2, 3. And then the extra tip is don't forget to chew the 40 times every bite. And as always, you know, it's a wonderful hair day when you take the time to dive in and do the work and commit. And so until we meet again, make it a great hair day. Bye-bye.
Happy holidays.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode. We hope you've gained valuable insights into the world of hair care and restoration. If you found this episode enlightening, don't forget to drop us a review over on Apple Podcasts. If you're eager to delve deeper into how HPI Hair Partners can cater to your hair needs, why wait? Connect with us today at hpihairpartners.com and make sure you never miss an episode by hitting that subscribe button. Tune in every week for fresh and enlightening updates. Until then, here's to healthier hair and boosted confidence.